When we talk about, when we dream about Hawaii, usually we think about the main islands, which are right here. But Hawaiian chain also includes lots of smaller islands. And the closest to the main islands is this one, Nihoa. Most of those islands are uninhabited. Nihoa is also uninhabited. It's a tiny island. It is administered by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as a national wildlife refuge. But recently, it became also a national marine monument, mostly to protect Hawaiian monk seals. There are only about 400, maybe 600 of these animals remained on Earth, and you can sometimes see 30, 40 of them in this beach in Nihoa, which is really, I think, amazing. And so now the level of protection for this island increased. So what are we protecting there? Biodiversity is a really very interesting area. Its level of biodiversity is higher than in the main Hawaiian islands, certainly because of lower disturbance there. This island was luckily, it escaped all these guano hunters and so on. So because of very difficult landing, it is very hard to land on Nihoa. So basically it is a pristine habitat, almost pristine, still remained as probably most of other Hawaiian islands used to be before the coming of Europeans. So there are lots of birds. The European name of this island is a bird island, and there are lots of endemic arthropods, including several which are really in very low numbers, so they're considered as probably candidate to be on T and E species, at least species. For example, these Orthopteran endemics, they are really rare, and I wasn't able to see them when I was there on this island. There is this weevil, which is also considered as very rare, but it was almost ubiquitous everywhere there. There are primitive spiders, like this trapdoor spider. But mostly, certainly, the most numerous creatures which really can be easily seen there are birds. Mostly there are marine birds, but like this great frigate bird. But also, in addition to the marine birds, there are two endemic songbirds that really cannot be found anywhere else, only on this island. One of them is this Nihoa finch, very interesting, very kind of bird which can explore you if you sit still there. It can come to your ear to see what's going on there, and so on and so on. Because really these birds, they are not afraid of humans, there are no predators there. Even more kind of interesting, because it is more rare species, not as many numbers as Nihoa finch, this Nihoa miller bird. Sometimes its population went down to just maybe several dozens of pairs, but recently it was several hundred of individuals. And a similar subspecies disappeared from another small island called Lazen Island. So what happened there? In the year 1916, I have no idea what 10 means, but anyway, rabbits were brought to the island. Somebody decided to build a cannery to produce canned rabbit meat there. And just in 7 years, these rabbits destroyed all the vegetation, all the grassland vegetation on the island. Because of this, the island population of noctuids, miller moths, also was decimated. And miller birds, which, by the way, the name apparently came because they feed on miller moths, preferably caterpillars, they also practically ceased to exist, especially because there was a big sandstorm which blew the remaining birds into the ocean. It was documented because exactly in 1923, a big crew of specialists, of biologists, was doing research there. So we know even exactly when the species ceased to exist. It was never found again. So what happened at Nihoa? Several years ago, there was a big outbreak of this grasshopper, which is pretty common here in California. it made it somehow to the main Hawaiian Islands in 1964. Later, it was found on Nihoa, and at some point of time, it produced a big outbreak in the year 2002. So one of the questions was, okay, maybe these grasshoppers act like those rabbits on the island of Laysan. This is just to illustrate some of the damage to endangered Nihoa fan palm. So last year, a year ago, I was lucky to spend 11 days on this uninhabited island, probably a dream of any biologist, every biologist maybe. And the primary objective was to assess the grasshopper situation there. Well, when we were coming to Nihoa, we were afraid that when we approach the island, we will see just, you know, brown desert. But on the contrary, it was green, lush vegetation, because there were lots of rains in the late fall of 2006. By the way, there are no weather monitoring stations. They were, they were installed only in April 2006. So we don't know exactly the weather pattern on Nihoa prior to 2006. So just to show you how different Nihoa is between dry and wet situations. By the way, there are lots of anthropological sites, archaeological sites there. People lived on Nihoa. Just to show you dry and wet situations. So I was able to make a survey of grasshoppers, and certainly it was very difficult to even to move on the island because of lots of birds and nests and so on. But my estimate was about 20,000 grasshoppers, which I would say for this for this area it would be kind of low to moderate number of grasshoppers, because carrying capacity of this area is certainly much higher. Damage was very low. This is just to illustrate some damage by young insters, young nymphs. And in the recent years, there were really dramatic fluctuations of the Nihoa's populations of Schistocerca nitens. And one of the factors which I think affect this grasshopper is soil moisture, or to be exact, insufficient soil moisture, because this species doesn't have embryonic diapause like our temperate grasshoppers, most of our temperate species. So it, if the eggs are laid in the soil, they need moisture to hatch. And apparently there were several months in a row without sufficient moisture. That's why population crashed after 2004. I was able to bring 14 grasshoppers back to my lab in Wyoming, and now I have an ongoing colony there. And this exactly, my observations illustrate this. Definitely when it is too dry, the eggs do not hatch. Once you put a little bit of water into the cups with eggs, immediately they will hatch. So what that is probably the critical factor, the limiting ecological factor for these species. So what about our fear about grasshoppers and miller birds? Actually, miller birds are insectivorous birds, so probably they even benefited from higher numbers of grasshoppers. Certainly the bird is really small. It cannot catch the adult, or may can catch, but probably cannot consume the big adult, especially female, which is about 3 grams. Males are smaller. But nymphs are pretty easy catch. And this graph shows you that actually in the recent years we had a big hump in the population dynamics of the birds, but during the very last counts, the numbers went down. So who knows, maybe they actually track the grasshopper numbers. Among other interesting catches, I was able for the first time on Nihoa to catch Painted Lady. And this is not a very good photo, because a stupid finch actually came and didn't allow me to take a good photo. But this is the first sighting of a dragonfly on Nihoa, and actually it was laying eggs in the temporary pool. There is no fresh water, permanent fresh water on the island, but after the rains there are some water pools. So what can we do if necessary? It's really not much because of birds and other non-targets. And maybe bait stations would be a good solution for this. Now, very quickly, just to show you that propagation of this grasshopper to the northwest is really evident right now. It can be found on all those islands. And what was really amazing this year, our USDA scouts found it near Cheyenne, the same species. So what is going on? Global warming? And the biggest question is how did it get to Nihoa? Because kind of ironically, because of this, we built all our strategy of management. If it is an alien, that means that it came with the help of the humans to the main islands and then hopped somehow to the other islands, then we need to try to manage it, try to reduce the numbers. Well, I won't go, don't have much time, but it's the same genus as the infamous desert locust, so it's very good flyers. So I don't have a lot of answers if you have questions, but I would say that there are some take-home questions. What are we really trying to protect in these situations, and when an alien becomes native? And with this, I would like to acknowledge Nihoa crew, and thank you for your attention. Okay, the question is about food preferences of Schistocerca nitens. There are only 27 species of vascular plants on Nihoa, and there were several plants definitely preferred, like Cedar phallax from Malvaceae family, several species from legume family. However, there were several grasses that were practically not attacked at all.